from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Penny Nelson.
And I'm Monica Samayoa. The American Civil Liberties Union will sue to stop a decision by the U.S. Attorney General that allows for the indefinite detention of people seeking asylum in the U.S. KQED's Julie Small reports.
For more than a decade, U.S. immigration courts have allowed certain asylum seekers to ask a judge to release them on bond while they await a final decision on whether they can stay. They have to show that they have a credible fear they'll be persecuted or tortured if they return to their home countries, and they must not be a threat or a flight risk. In his decision Tuesday overturning the rule, Attorney General William Barr wrote that asylum seekers must be detained until their claims are decided. That can take months, even years. ACLU attorney Ahilin Arulanandam says that's unconstitutional.
There is no more basic due process protection than the right to ask a judge whether the government has to imprison you while you go through the process of establishing your right to live here.
Attorney General Barr delayed the change for 90 days to give the Department of Homeland Security time to plan. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Meanwhile, Judge Dana Sabraw, the same federal judge who ordered the Trump administration to reunify 2,800 migrant families last year, is now ordering the government to speed up its efforts to identify those separated children. Judge Sabraw wants a revised proposal by early next week. This after a government watchdog revealed that thousands more separations than earlier known occurred at the border. ACLU attorney Lee Gallant says a government report indicates there's a list of those children, or at least the raw data to make one.
If that list exists or can be generated quickly, that's a start. That's 2 months worth of children, and that's 2 months of children we can help right away.
U.S. Attorney Scott Stewart insists there's no list of separated kids and no easy way to compile one.
A bill that would pave the way for more housing development near public transportation got a big no vote from the L.A. City Council yesterday. It's a state bill, so the City Council doesn't have direct say over whether it passes, but oppositions from cities like Los Angeles helped kill the legislation in Sacramento last year. KCRW's Anna Scott has more.
This measure, Senate Bill 50, would override local zoning rules in areas close to major train and bus lines. Proposed by State Senator Scott Wiener from San Francisco, it would force cities to allow new apartment buildings near public transportation and job centers. L.A. City Councilman Paul Koretz, who represents part of L.A.'s West Side, is leading the opposition to the bill.
This would allow five-story buildings in the middle of single-family neighborhoods with a goal of destroying those neighborhoods, as the author, Mr. Wiener, has articulated.
Senator Wiener says that restricting housing near public transit to single-family homes worsens traffic and pollution. A lot of people packed the council chambers to speak for and against the bill. Most of the criticisms focused on the bill not doing enough to ensure affordable housing development, while supporters said it would help address LA's housing shortage. The city council voted 12-0 to oppose the bill. For the California Report, I'm Anna Scott in Los Angeles.
A company running dozens of assisted living homes across California is at the center of a federal lawsuit alleging misconduct and violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. KQED's Michelle Wiley brings us the story.
The lawsuit, which was filed in the Northern District Court, alleges that facilities run by Brookdale Senior Living are engaging in a policy of violating the ADA. Gay Grunfeld is one of the lawyers representing residents.
The lawsuit alleges that the rooms are not accessible, that many of them have sinks that a wheelchair can't roll under, ledges that a wheelchair can't roll over. The bathrooms are generally difficult to use for people in wheelchairs.
It also alleges that there's a lack of trained staff to care for disabled residents and help them participate fully in the activities of daily living, like group exercise.
That basically means that Brookdale is discriminating against persons with disabilities in the way they run their facilities.
If the lawsuit, which is seeking class action status, is successful, the company will be forced to compensate residents and change its policies. Brookdale, a Tennessee-based company which operates hundreds of elder care facilities in the U.S., said in a statement that the case is completely without merit. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
Well, you've probably forgotten a scandal from a couple of years ago involving a yacht and a Napa Valley winery in which Devin Nunes is an investor. Well, Devin Nunes has not forgotten. The Republican congressman filed a lawsuit last week that has yanked the story back into the headlines. KQED's Chloe Veltman has more.
Alpha Omega winery owner Robin Baggett says the decision to put his shiny 59-foot yacht on the market has nothing to do with a 2016 lawsuit centering on media reports about a sex and drug-fueled party aboard the vessel. He and his wife just hadn't sailed the boat in a while.
It's a little bit like going through your closet. If you haven't worn something for a year, you might think about giving it to Goodwill.
But the winery owner and his wife aren't exactly happy about the media's renewed interest in the scandal, a consequence of Devin Nunes' $150 million defamation lawsuit filed against Fresno Bee publisher McClatchy, which broke the yacht story.
I wish this didn't happen, trust me.
Baggett says sales at his winery are up, and the bad press from the infamous yacht party hasn't negatively impacted business.
It's more that our relationship with Devin, we've had a couple of people say they're not going to buy the wine.
Baggett says Nunes, an old friend and fellow Republican, has a tiny stake in the winery. Baggett also says Nunes never set foot on the yacht. But Alpha Omega's connection to the polarizing politician has led to a deluge of negative posts on social media over the past couple of years, including potential links to Russia.
It's never even been discussed here. Ever to sell wine to Russia.
Despite the headaches Nunes has been causing the winery, Baggett remains loyal.
We're good friends. That hasn't changed one bit.
He's confident the Alpha Omega yacht will sell. But the winery owner says the connection to Nunes may cause the boat's price to drop. For the California Report, I'm Chloe Veltman.
San Diego-based wireless company Qualcomm announced Tuesday that it has settled a series of long-running patent disputes with Apple. Eric Anderson of KPBS in San Diego has details.
The surprise settlement came as lawyers for the two technology companies were delivering opening arguments in a San Diego courtroom. The agreement calls for Qualcomm to sign a 6-year licensing deal and a supply agreement that could clear the way for the San Diego chipmaker's technology to return to the iPhone. Apple currently only uses Intel chips in its mobile phones. Apple sued Qualcomm in 2017, accusing the San Diego chipmaker of overcharging for the use of its patents. Qualcomm countersued, accusing Apple of using its technology without paying for it. All of the legal challenges are considered settled with this deal, which also included an undisclosed cash payment to Qualcomm. The San Diego company's shares were up sharply on the news. For the California Report, I'm Eric Anderson in San Diego.
What color badge do you wear at work? The answer means a lot in Silicon Valley. Contract workers at many companies, including Google, Apple, and Salesforce, get different colored badges. They can limit where contractors can go on campus, what parties or trips they can attend, and they tell everyone that the worker is not full-time. Not exactly a badge of honor.
I actually hide my badge. I keep it in my back pocket, and I get real pissy when someone, you know, they're like, where's your badge? Where's your badge? I'm just like, all right, come on.
This worker is at Google. He's got bigger worries than his badge. He's concerned he's not doing enough work to get converted to full-time and maybe let go. KQED's Sam Harnett talked with him for a story in our series on Silicon Valley's shadow workforce.
When I was first brought on, I was told by my manager, I guess I had a week where they really liked what I was doing, but they were noticing that I was working a lot, and they said, "Oh, you know, we don't have the budget to pay you overtime, so don't work too hard." But then the next week, maybe it was a little bit of a slow week, and I was told, "Oh, you need to keep the number of deliverables higher." Someone on a neighboring team to me, you know, we were casually chatting on personal email about a show we wanted to see, and all of a sudden he emailed me and said, hey, I just got fired. They said that I wasn't producing enough output. So I found myself kind of working secretly after hours, you know, trying to avoid my manager. You feel like a full-time employee, and you feel like you're going to be evaluated as a full-time employee, but on the books and in your paycheck and in your benefits, and some of the way that you're treated by some of like the authority in the company, you're not a full-time employee.
Tomorrow we hear about a worker who's been trying to convert to full-time for over 4 years. Meanwhile, his wife and son have been waiting overseas.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, April 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio.
Our fabulous engineers are Katie McMurrin and Danny Bringer. I'm Penny Nelson.
And I'm Monica Samayoa. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Learn more about how competitive companies are taking charge of their healthcare investment at collectivehealth.com/HBR. Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.